Good evening, ngithona njani makhosikazi labo baba, and welcome to our Wednesday amakhosikazi chat room. Thank you for joining us this evening. Namhlanje sithetha ngokuhlukumezwa kwabantu kwabomama online. And we are also going to look at if there is any laws or provisions to protect women from ukuhlukunyezwa lokhu. To help us with the discussion today, Silo Priti Nxumalo, who is a media practitioner, and we've got Amanda Phiri, who is a legal practitioner. So what we are going to do today, we're going to start with Priti Nxumalo, who's going to explain to us what online violence is, what it entails. I think she's done a topic of this nature before. Maybe she can tell us in brief, kwalabo maybe who were not part of us in the previous chats. And when she does explain, we can then have the legal practitioner, or before the legal practitioner, will ask questions concerning online violence and its impact on women, or what we as women understand online violence to be. So we have an opportunity ukuthi lati sixoxe ngesikwaziyo ngesikuzwisisayo before we have the legal practitioner come and explain to us what legal provisions are there to protect women from this online violence. I'll ask both of them, when it's their turn to present, to introduce themselves. Ukuze sibazi ngcono. I'm sure some of us already know Priti Nxumalo. Welcome and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Lishwane njani bomama nabo baba. I'd like to thank amakhosikazi chat room for this platform and the opportunity. Namhlanje sikhuluma nge online violence and its impact on women political participation. I'll just talk about online violence ukuthi yini, and then ngibe sengikhuluma a few examples of how it affects a women's political participation. I know ukuthi everyone lately is on an online platform, one or two or three or four, Twitter or Facebook, TikTok, and these platforms, we use them for engagement, for dialogue. We use them to share our views. We also use them to access information on any issues around us. But then those platforms have been enablers of online violence, which consists of various forms of abusive and harmful behavior that happens on the internet, and often targeting individuals or groups. So because we are looking at it from the perspective of women's political participation, we are not saying that men do not face online violence. They are also vulnerable to online violence. However, we acknowledge that women usually are the ones who are the most affected by online violence. And there are quite a number of forms of online violence, and they include harassment, cyberbullying, leaking of private information without consent of the person, hate speech, threats and intimidation, izinto ezinjengabo revenge porn, stalking, trolling, misinformation and disinformation, le online shaming. So all these forms of online violence that women face when they are using the internet. Like I mentioned, that there are many forms of online violence which encompass various forms of abuse and harmful behaviors that are targeted at individuals or groups based on their race, gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity, religion. You find that because of this online interaction, there has been a lot of harassment. Some people have faced threats, intimidation, aggressive messages, and these usually you come in form of a demeaning language, a personal attacks. You are commenting, and then someone all of a sudden is now using your physical appearance or whatever to just make sure that you discontinue engaging. And there has been a lot of cyberbullying again online, whereby hurtful messages, rumors, false information is just thrown all over with the intention of causing emotional distress, harm, with the intention of humiliating someone or demeaning them. And also there has been the issue of people's personal or private information being leaked without their consent, and this also exposes people to real life threats and harassment. And there's hate speech. We know we've seen hate speech whereby people are attacked using offensive language. You are attacked because you belong to a certain ethnic group or because you are of a certain gender. And this hate speech usually also perpetuates discrimination and furthers certain stereotypes about certain groups of people. And there has also been a revenge porn whereby your videos and images that you took and shared with a person in private, they are now using those images to shame and humiliate you or to exert a certain control on you. And this usually affects women. And then there is also stalking, where someone is always, wherever you are, they're always repeat following you, like everything that you're doing on those platforms. You are being, there is someone watching and someone observing you, like having that consistent following on every social media platform where you are. And there is also the issue of disinformation, where false, misleading information or narratives or manipulated content is used to damage your reputation or to incite fear or panic. And lastly, there is also a lot of online shaming, where you are just humiliated, public humiliating, based on some sort of perceived moral or ethical or social transgressions, or sometimes it's even a person's opinions about you being thrown around, and everyone now believing that that is the truth. And you'll find that all these forms of online violence have negative implications on the mental and emotional well-being of the victims. And I'll also talk about the impact in terms of women's political participation. So what is the impact of online violence on women's political participation?
So you find that online violence has negative implications in terms of women's political participation. Women who experience online violence, they become reluctant to participate in political activities. Abasafuni kubonakala bekhuluma kakhulu ku Facebook or ku Twitter because bayesaba ukuthi khona they will be further abused. And uzathola ukuthi most of those women start self-censoring. There are certain issues that they do not comment on. Bayathula because bayesaba ukuthi khona once they start commenting, there is someone who will go back and pull something that has nothing to do with the argument that this person is bringing about. Eqalise ukusebenzisa that against the person. So bayaqalisa ukuba le self-censorship and le withdraw from politics. And the other issue is that it reduces the confidence of our mama in terms of the way they should participate. If ulama comments that are always negative ayehlisa isithunzi somuntu, i-confidence yomuntu wangkhona yena lo o-attackwayo iyayehla. And once someone doesn't have a confidence, they are also in this self-doubt. They have low self-esteem. And nxa sekunjalo, it means no one will vote for this woman because who votes for a person who is not confident? Who votes for a person who doubts themselves? So the whole purpose of online violence sometimes is just to make women start doubting themselves as leaders. How can I lead nga ama comments ehlale sithi khona lo umazakhela wayehlulwa ngumuzi wakhe uzasikhokhela njani? Lo ulama boyfriend amaningi kakhulu uzasikhokhela njani? And all those comments aya instill a lot of self-esteem and confidence, and aphinde ayenze omama beqalise ukuzidoubt. And also in terms of the credibility of abo mama, by using a false information to tarnish a reputation of abo mama, it means that people who are supposed to trust that person as a leader, or people who are supposed to have a confidence on that particular woman, labo kabasela that confidence. This person has been made ukuthi khona akhanyakale njengomuntu ongaziyo into ayenzayo. And then who votes for a person ongaziyo into ayenzayo? So you find that some of the female candidates lost in the past elections, not because they were bad candidates, but because their credibility is undermined through these social media platforms. And people saw then that there was no need for them to vote for them because of certain narratives that were pushed on these online platforms about them. So another issue is the obvious one, where it's also leads to a low participation of women in politics. Those who are aspiring to be leaders, now na ungabona omunye esithi uyangena ku politics uhambe kuhle kuyedikwa ipast yakhe yonke, you start also thinking twice about joining the whole leadership position or being a politician, because you have your past that you do not want so you find that even those women who are aspiring to be politicians, they start fearing once they are there with spotlight, someone will start attacking them using whatever information that they have on them, which is information that is usually from the past.
Hi, everyone. I don't think I've ever experienced severe online violence. Reason being, I think I'm one of those people who doesn't really engage others on controversial topics. And, well, there are times where you receive these messages and you're somewhat being coerced into holding the conversation, into giving someone your attention, but then I found myself blocking all those individuals. But then again, I found myself avoiding spaces like Twitter. Yes, because there's quite a lot of violence there. You can really meet savages there who would really take you on, you know, when you're having an argument, and they don't just look at the argument, they start to go to your looks, they start to go to your quality, your picture quality and things like that. I've seen that happening a lot to other women. Oguti, you would be just engaging on a particular topic and then they will start to attack you personally, they'll start to attack your image. And also there's another thing that I've been thinking about, for instance, these memes and these jokes. There are quite a lot of jokes and memes nowadays that I feel they are violence on its own. And it's a bit concerning because it has become a laughable matter. You know, you just see something, for example, ukuthi khona uthola ukuthi umuntu wesifazane is trending, and then you find people now making fun of it, and they do this, what do they do on Twitter? They make retweets and they make memes out of it. And you find it laughable. It's funny because it's like it has become a norm to make fun of other women online. So I do not know if the issue of online violence is something that will ever get over, or is something that we'll just have to keep tolerating to some extent.
Litshonile makhosikazi labo baba, ngithanda ukubonga ithuba engeliphiwe yi amakhosikazi chat room ukuthi sibuye sizoxoxa ngendaba ze online violence, online bullying, online crimes. Ngithande njalo ukubonga uPretty for that overview that she just gave. Sikhangela online crimes and how women are bullied on these platforms, which then inhibit their participation in political activities. So thank you very much. And ngiyabonga yona le overview, le background, because iyayindlalela the next conversation that we are going to have. Eyo usungqo asesendlalele khona where we are asking questions of what does the law in Zimbabwe say about online violence? Is there legal provision in our constitutional laws to protect women? What is the Data Protection Act saying? Does it address online violence? So I think I will take an opportunity to look at some of these questions and answer these questions, and also link the law to the conversation that Preeti was having with us. So thank you very much for having me, and I hope we'll have an informative session. All right. I think to start off, I'll start off with what the Constitution says. And I always prefer to start here because a constitution is the supreme law of the land. And any act, practice, custom should then be in alignment with the constitution. So that's why I prefer to start there, because it then becomes a guiding law for us when we then look at all the other laws that we have elizweni. So I think so first of all, it's section two of the constitution, which talks about the supremacy of the constitution. The provision of the act says that the constitution of Zimbabwe is the supreme law of the country, and any act, conduct, practice or custom that is contrary to the constitution is inconsistent to the extent of it's invalid to the extent of its inconsistency. So thina nxa sizaba le mthetho elizweni kumele ibe imthetho ehambelana le constitution. And when we look at issues of online violence, particularly perpetrated against women, you already know ukuthi kule umthetho osuphanjaniswa, ngoba nxa sikhangele usection 3 of the constitution yethu, which is the founding values and principles, it says that Zimbabwe is founded on the respect of the following values and principles. And section 3 ukhuluma ngokuthi Zimbabwe is founded on the values of what? Of gender equality. So meaning that women and men should be treated equally and fairly, and no one should be violated or should be treated differently on the basis of what? Of gender, of their gender. And if we will a conversation with Preeti, we are online. That's why most of the times they are not inspired to what? To be involved in political activities or in these decision-making bodies. So already the constitution here to excessively violated. And when you continue to the Declaration of Rights, section 53, Section 53 ukhuluma ngokuthi no one in Zimbabwe, everyone has a freedom, is freedom from torture, cruel, and freedom from torture or cruel, inhumane or degrading treatment or punishment. No one may be subjected to physical or psychological torture or cruel and inhumane or degrading treatment or punishment. And we know most of the times when it comes to women who want to participate in political office, most of the times they are treated in a cruel, inhumane and degrading manner. Okwenza amalungelo abo abe violated, okwenza njalo labo omama bengafuni ukuba involved in the political arena. And then lastly, a constitution iyakhuluma freedom of equality and non-discrimination. Ukuthi akumelanga kube lo muntu who's discriminated against on the basis of any agenda yabo. So we realize ukuthi umthetho in terms of the constitution, the global or imthetho emkhulu silani, sile constitution evikela amalungelo abantu bonke, which is our starting point. And then last khangela research. Research shows that online violence and abuse has become far too common, and women are the ones who suffer the most. And there was once an online poll that found out that 23% of women across 8 countries had experienced online abuse and harassment. And this is quite a big number. If 23 women in 8 countries would give a report that they've suffered online violence, then it is a big number. So I think as a country, Zimbabwe, in 2001, we enacted Ekuthiwa Data Protection Act. That was enacted in 2020. And the main aim of Umthetho Lo, or this act, was to provide for a data protection with due regard to the declaration of rights under the Constitution in the public and national interest, to establish a cyber crime center, a data protection authority, and to provide for their functions. And mina any interest that year, it was to amend section 162-266 of a Criminal Code Reform Act, and to provide for investigation and collection of evidence of cyber crimes and unauthorized data collection breaches, and to provide for admissibility of electronic evidence for such offenses, and to provide for matters connected with and incidental to the foregoing. So the Data Protection Act, as it was then called when it was first introduced, injongo yayo yayikucreate or amend i-criminal codification law, oyiwo umthetho ositshela ngamacala wonke atholakalayo, and also to provide for investigation and collection of data of cyber crimes. So because sikhuluma ngama-online crimes, angithi, there was a time in our law where you could not produce evidence that was not provided for in the law. So it then becomes difficult ukuthi i WhatsApp message umuntu ngithethise ku WhatsApp but ngifuna uku reporter, how do I report i WhatsApp yangkhona ngingakwansi kunjani ukuyiletha e court as evidence. And also umthetho law has then allowed ukuthi kube le admissibility of evidence anjengana lapho, because it's crimes that are being done online. So if it's being done online, kumele ngivunyelwe ukuletha the device on which icala leli was committed. So the Data Protection Act was then crafted to make provisions for indozonezi, because you notice ukuthi it would then be difficult ukuthi li report indaba, because police have no law to charge abantu ngayo. So then this act was then introduced. But when the act was introduced, it had all the offenses. I will highlight those offenses. But then ama offenses lawa, because the act was meant to amend section 162-166 of the Criminal Code, you'll notice what the Data and Cyber Protection Act was then regazetted in March 2022 with a new title, where it was now called the Cyber and Data Protection Act. So is Cyber and Data Protection Act ekhona khathesi? I say like the crimes, because the crimes were then taken, AI were created, were then taken and put ubani or Criminal Codification Act, because it created crimes, and these crimes then need to go emthethweni yethu lapha esithola khona amacala wonke. So the basis was the Data and Cyber Protection Act, but khathesi nxa udinga amacala awusawatholi in this act, you then find them in the what? In the Criminal Codification Act. So I'm sorry, my voice notes are going to be slightly long. But so what we find is now left in the Cyber and Data Protection Act is things that have to do with people who keep information data. So these are your registries, because they collect personal information and personal data and keep this information for use at a later stage. So now the act only relates to people who are in custody of personal information, our personal data, who process this information. So umthetho then talks about how they are not supposed to give your personal information to be used without your authority or consent. and it khangela ngezinto ezinjengo quality of data, how this data is to be given out, how they have to get written consent from you to transmit this information. So now i-Cyber and Data Collection Act angithi iyakhuluma ngama rights of a data subject. So i-information ngayethethe kuwe, you are then what? The data subject. And it gives like 5 rights. Ukuthi nxa umuntu le information yakho, you have the right to be informed of the use to which your personal information is to be put. You have the right to access your personal information in custody of a data controller or processor. You have the right to object to the processing of all or part of your personal information. And then you have the right to correction of false and misleading personal information. And you have a right to deletion of false and misleading information about you. So you'll notice ukuthi its Cyber and Data Protection Act now only covers information elo data controller or data processor to keep, and also and get a consent from you whenever they need to use your information. So this is what is found in the Data and Cyber Protection Act. But because we're talking about issues to do with online violence, it will then be prudent for us ukuthi sikhangele ukuthi vele wona umthetho uthini about online violence, what crimes were created by this Data Protection Act, which were then put in the Criminal Codification Act. So what we notice angithi ngakho lokho ukuthi the Criminal Codification Act then classifies ama crimes that happen online into 3 categories angithi. So a category yokuqala is offenses relating to computer systems, computer data, computer storage mediums, data cords and devices. So first ama offenses abakhona ngama offenses ayenzwa on a computer or on a device angithi. So you have to have a gadget that you are using angithi to do these offenses. So the offenses that are under this category, you have issues like hacking, where it is defined as a person knowing or suspecting that he or she must obtain prior authority to access data, computer program, computer data storage medium or a whole part of a computer system in question. So e-hacking is when you know that you are supposed to obtain authority to access a data, a computer program, a computer storage system, but you do not get that consent. You intentionally and unlawfully without authority access such information, umthetho uthi you shall be liable for e-hacking angithi, and you will be liable to pay a fine not exceeding level 14. So level 14 is 5,000 or to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 10 years. So you can be arrested for 10 years for hacking into someone's computer wazi and knowing that you were not supposed, or you can even get both a fine and imprisonment not exceeding 10 years. Also under this category, hule unlawful acquisition of data. So if any person who unlawfully and intentionally intercepts by technical or other means any private transmission of data to, from, or within a computer network, computer device, or overcomes or circumvents any protective security measures intended to prevent access to data. So lapha sesikhuma ngomuntu who overcomes a password yabo ifakele ukuthi athole information angithi, laba bantu bazave belani, they'll be found guilty of unlawful acquisition of data. So we really need to be careful on how we
we really need to be careful on how we access or deal with people's computers and phones. And then there's unlawful interference with data or storage medium. So any person who unlawfully, intentionally interferes with a computer, data or data storage medium by damaging, corrupting, impairing, deleting computer data. So pongo deleting those abantu ma computer nabo, ma phone nabo is now an offense. Altering information without their consent will be an offense. So you'll notice that the first category really has to do with accessing a computer, doing something on a computer device, on a phone, you know, on a camera. It definition yakona is quite wide. As long as it's something that captures data, then you cannot just do ungacelanga imvumo from another person. And then there is unlawful disclosure of data. Any person who unlawfully, intentionally communicates, discloses, transmits any computer data program without authority of umnikazi we information in a law will find themselves belicala. We have the second category, which I think really is quite related to the conversation eslayo today. Kukhuluma ngama offenses relating to electronic communication and material. So this is where most women suffer because of their vulnerability, because of some of the issues that Pretty was talking about. Ukuthi umuntu just wants you to lose confidence, threaten you so that you don't get involved. So offenses esesiwabona eku criminal code relating to electronic communication and material. We'll have the first one, which is the transmission of data message inciting violence or damage to property. So the law says any person who unlawfully by means of a computer information system makes available, transmits, broadcasts, or distributes data to any person, any group of persons, or to a public with intent to incite such persons to commit any act of violence against any person or to cause damage to property shall be liable of an offense. So kulicala ukuthi uthumele izinto ezi excite abanye abantu ukuthi behambe beyayenza i-violence kumbe badamage i-property. So licala lonile. And then elinye icala is sending threatening messages. And I think these women who want to participate in politics or any decision making process, uzothi ubuye khona ngale uzabona ukuthi sizakwenza. That's a threatening message, So any person who unlawfully and intentionally by means of a computer or information sends any data message to a person threatening harm to the person or the person's family or friends, or damage to property of such person shall be guilty of an offense not exceeding level 10 or imprisonment for a period not exceeding 5 years. So ukuthumela umuntu a message umthrethena, you know, or threatening their family or their friends. So kulicala ngitho ukuthi singathola ulani usujele not more than 5 years. It can be 5 years or ubhadaliswe ini ifine about $1,000. I think I'll confirm ama levels of fine ukuthi imalini. So that is part of the crimes that we see on the second category. The other crime is cyberbullying. I think sesike sakhuluma ngayo cyberbullying in the previous session. So cyberbullying, I think what I can say about it, you would see kuthwa it has a number of ways. Someone can be posting fake information or obscene pictures of someone on social media. That is considered cyberbullying. Sending abusive and threatening messages through messaging platform, that's cyberbullying. Pretending to be another person and sending obscene images on their behalf, it's also cyberbullying. And then would anybody who unlawfully and intentionally by means of a computer or information system generates, sends any data messages to another person or post any material whatsoever on an electronic medium accessible by any person with intent to coerce, ufuna ukumintimidate, ufuna ukumharasa, ufuna ukumthreatena, you want to bully them, you want to cause substantial emotional distress or degrade them, humiliate them. So you see cyberbullying umthetho uyenze yababanzi so that it covers everything. Kungabi lo muntu, kungabi le something esalela. And it's an offense, and so ungatholakala guilty of cyberbullying, you can go to prison for 10 years, you know. And then the other crime, I think upritsi ukhulume ngamaningi, but I'm just highlighting the transmission of false data messages intending to cause harm. So also lawe using your phone, using any information, any media, you make available information or distribute data to any person concerning an identified or identifiable person, knowing it to be false, with intent to cause psychological, emotional, economical harm. When we are looking at the crimes that are created by umthetho lo. And then there's another crime. I think women are generally a victim of this one, where there is a transmission of intimate images without their consent. Where a person would, using a computer, a phone, transmit messages containing intimate images or video of an identifiable person without their consent. And without their consent, you know, abantu babethandana bethumelana ama photos, and then when the relationship has gone sour, this person sokuthama ama images alikhile. That is a crime under this act. You cannot do that. And it, if you do, someone then can be arrested for more than 5 years for the offense of transmitting intimate images without the consent. And then there's one of discriminating racist and xenophobic material. So look, you know, uti ngasithole information ye xenophobia, we are sending it from one phone to the next to the next. It's also a crime because you are perpetuating xenophobic material. So I think with most, and then lastly the act looked at offenses against children, where you're looking at recording of genitalia and buttocks beneath clothing without a consent. So also where a person unlawfully and intentionally records image and video beneath the clothing of another person which depicts this person's genitalia or buttocks, whether covered by underwater or not, without consent of depicted person and with recklessness as to lack of consent of the person. So abantwana, you cannot be recording abantwana and sending them online because this is now an offense, and also distributing child sexual abuse material. So this is now an offense. So umthetho usukhona. All we need to do really is raise more awareness on umthetho lei, because abantu abaningi will do so many things not knowing ukuthi sokuyini sokulicala. And like Snow was rightfully pointing out, sometimes we do these things out of ukujayela nje, ukuthi when people say something, there are people who always want to comment negative. But what is the intention of you commenting negatively? Because at the end of the day, people will find themselves on the wrong side of the law. So like omama isikhathi eziningi are victims of online crimes, and thankfully umthetho usukhona that then can arrest abantu aba commit these online offenses, thinking, well, it's online, we can say whatever we want to say online and get away with it. But now you cannot get away with it as long as someone goes and reports. And umthetho makes it if someone has reported something, a gadget lapho uvele khona can be confiscated so that umuntu angakhonsile i-evidence ahambe ayidelete. And the good thing with online, you always leave a digital footprint. So the law, this is now where the cyber and data protection committees that were created then access that information to give the court so that there is a ruling at the end of the day. I think I will stop here and allow for people to digest and ask questions before I
continue, because I think I would like to then talk about how then do we protect ourselves online, but maybe I'll stop here to just take questions.
Still on questions, you can have. Since limited to our corner, are there any means of capacitating abantu nje general citizen about this thing, like maybe bebuye bomthetho siyabizwe emahholo? Because so you mean to tell me ukuthi it's not all about protecting, but it's now a criminal offense that if I'm being threatened by someone using a phone, I can always go open a docket on that, which I'm being harassed, I'm being stalked, using always I have no peace with this person, because like there are times when there's somebody who harasses you a phone in, especially these are no numbers, private numbers that do not have names. Then how does this act helps the victim from more victimization from an unknown number? Because usually the perpetrators always they always hide their identity. Then how does the codes help us? Because surely umuntu mayezonihlukumeza akanihlukumeza imbone number zakhe kukalushani ukuthi ngizibone, but abaningi baye becimile izinumber zabo kwesokusiba nzima. Yabona ukuthi ngaze ngibe nje ngiyathethiswa efonini. Umuntu wakhona mostly they don't send messages, but they always call you on a hidden number. Bekuthethise, bekutshele all sort of things, but you'll not know it. But the bad part is that you'll never have peace, because the peace that you have is either you lahla your stata pack or ucime iphone, because nxa ifona i-unknown number akastophi. We have seen such things happening. Then this act, how does then it help in indabeni enjalo?
Right, in terms of reporting crimes, police officers are trained ukuthi umuntu engabuya ereporta something bona bayacrafta icharge. Angithi when I fika report ukuthi i-boyfriend yami sicabene wangifaka impama wangitshaya, right, amapolisa then know bona nxa bebhala icharge ukuthi bacharge ngani based on the circumstances that you tell them. So that's why it was important for ukuthi ama crimes lawa awenza online afakwe la u criminal code, because nxa ucharge nge-section. Angithi so ngakhangela ama cyber crimes atholakala ku section 164 to section I think 168. So ungathiwa ucharge ngo section 163, you've been charged with hacking. And ungacharged on section 160 something, you've been charged with what? Inciting violence, or charged with distributing genitalia. So owakho uhambe emapoliseni uyotsho ukuthi mina ngireceive i-message efonini, because vele i-online crime has to do with a digital, with a device. Angithi ukuthi umuntu lo unithethisile on Twitter, but they used a device to produce that information and it was published online, you know. So amapolisa then bona are the ones who craft a charge. Yiba bayazi i-charge ukuthi icala le falls under this charge, angithi. So owethu is just to know ukuthi what are the crimes, ukuthi owethu ukubakwazi ukuthi umuntu, if someone does something engela consent yakho, or even someone accesses your phone. If lingakhumbula the first category I was saying, if someone accesses your device ekwazi ukuthi akumelanga angene efonini yakho engatholanga consent yakho, that is a crime. So amapolisa, like I was saying, just giving an example of our work, we're trained esithi sahamba ku-workshop and these were some of the things, but you know what, izinto it's all about practice, you know. Khathesi sesikwazithi rape umuntu angabuye sithi esithi i-rape engabuye sithi esithi ama-circumstances lawa, it's not rape, it's indecent assault. So it's the same. So it's more work that still needs to be done, because a one-day course is not sufficient for someone who will be told different circumstances have happened.
Still on questions, you can have. Since lumthetho wabakhona, are there any means of cover stating abantu nje general citizen about this thing, like maybe bebuye bomthetho siyabizwe emahholo, because honestly speaking abaningi abantu abakwazi khonoko, and not only in urban areas but emakhaya ke, those in rural and deep places, do they know about this act which is existing? Ma umuntu waraselifoni sokukwanise ukuthi uyombophisa since amalokozeni ayesefakiwe ku-codification lokuzeni act. How best and how fast, or ngithi so sesibangeni esinganani ukuthi abantu bonke bekwazi lolu lwazi, kumbe vele into eyaziwa by those few who are interested in social and media things, so that ibe lolwazi. Were there any other ways of saying advertiser so that people will learn about this? Are there any hard copies where can one access it and read it so that they fully understand in the work?
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Amakhosikazi Media, for this opportunity, because you know, there are very few platforms where we can talk about issues that affect women and really practical issues. And I know we were discussing about how to make this bill, this act, practical, because kunzima ukureport some of these things that are happening online and have our justice delivery sector actually also take it seriously. So I believe the more we raise awareness on these, it also makes it easy for our cases to be acceptable. So thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for the engaging conversation we've had with people who asked questions, because it helps us think of how then do we capacitate our justice delivery system, how do we navigate this digital online things with the challenges we have as a nations with resourcing our institutions, with access to internet and things like that. So thank you very much for starting the conversation, and we hope that we do see a lot of women getting redress and justice on this, on issues that they are personally attacked on online. Thank you very much, and good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much for the engagement, ladies and gentlemen, and very much appreciate everybody who participated tonight and this evening. Thank you. A big up and a big thank you also goes to our legal practitioner and media practitioner guests today, Amanda Piri and Priti Ngumalo. Thank you very much. Thank you. This discussion tonight was so enlightening, and it really shows and reveals that we have a lot of work to do, not only in educating and creating awareness, but also that we are very careful as individuals that were not found to be perpetrators. A very good night. Till next time.